You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Well then, music and politics. It's always had a very strong relationship, going back to the days of the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, and campaigns to combat racism. These days, artists such as Childish Gambino are pushing the boundaries visually and musically when it comes to using their art as a political vehicle. Well, I was very fortunate to speak to Pat Rosbikia, who is a lecturer in politics at Aston University. She co-authored an article called As Childish Gambino Shows, Pop Music Can Be Powerfully Political. I spoke to her.
Do you think that censorship in music is still a big issue these days, or have artists found ways to kind of get around this?
It's definitely not the issue of like 1960s, 70s and even 1980s. It's more focused about, it's very marginalized aspect of the whole music industry. And in our research, we actually discovered that it's more about like market censorship. So it's not necessarily relevant to the politics. It's only the market itself steers it. So political songs, the ones which are very expressive about current situation, they're actually not very popular on the market, so they don't sell well, so they don't reach that many masses. So it's not really an issue that maybe they're not there, it's just they are not as visible as before.
Do you think music has become more or less political these days? And do you think with that, does it still have the ability to influence change, perhaps like it used to?
I would say the scale is different. So before we have like historical examples, so we have like huge movements. There is like Red Wedge movement in UK. We have like Rock the Vote, Rock Against Racism. So we have really big initiatives. And at this moment, we don't have this big kind of scale involvement from people. But also on the other side, it's the micropop activism, which is popping up, becoming very active. So rather small scale gigs, but there's more of them. So kind of using a bit an idea of Rock Against Racism. So organizing tons of little activities, which actually create bigger awareness and getting people more, well, again, more aware of the issue rather than like just huge initiative.
So why do you think that these changes have taken place?
I think it's definitely coming with technology, because we have like availability of like 24/7 news cycle. And then, to be honest, something to stay on the news agenda, it really has to be big and shocking. And to be honest, all those micropop activism events, gigs and so on, they're so tiny that they don't manage to kind of pop up long enough. So definitely technology aspect. The other issue is like, let's take YouTube and Childish Gambino example. He posts online video, which gets picked up by SNL, so Saturday Night Live, put it on TV, and then it gets like up to like tons and millions of views. And it's all because of technology, and everyone gets aware of it. And then we have spin-offs like This Is Nigeria, there's also version in India and so on. And it's all wonderful, but without the technology and the development in streaming, YouTube aspect and Facebook, when the sharing is even more possible, it wouldn't happen on the same scale.
So I guess this is a good time to talk about social media. Do you think it's made it more easier for artists to be political and to get their views to their fans? And with this, I guess, is there an expectation now on musicians that they should use their platforms for this?
There's definitely a push for actually encouraging, especially like new up-and-coming artists to use social media. Definitely we have like celebrity culture when like Twitter followers are becoming like, and well, not necessarily engaged in politics, but celebrity, for example, suggesting support for particular or endorsing particular politician is definitely a force which can encourage a change of view and definitely getting youngsters involved, because that's the main user. So we're talking about the youngest generation of potential voters, so 18, 24.
How effective do you think music is in creating political change or engaging people politically? Are things like benefit concerts or charity singles effective, or are they more kind of cynical attempts by musicians to seem like they care?
I don't want to be very pessimistic. So maybe let's look at it from the perspective gig goers, event goers, festival goers. All the events they attend is actually preaching to the choir. So you will not see, for example, conservative supporters on the gigs organized by the Labour and so on. So it's not necessary about change of political views. It's rather kind of making them a bit stronger and kind of giving the people a chance to like voice it, get like interaction with people with the same views. But having said that, so it's not necessarily about change of political views. It's more about making people more aware what the issues are. And that's the potential of music, that it can be brought to the politics and in general kind of larger movement.
Let's turn to the election of Donald Trump and his kind of relationship with musicians and politics, because do you think he's acted as a catalyst for greater political engagement for musicians?
No, definitely not, because lots of people forget that engagement of musicians in the US actually precedes Donald Trump quite a lot. So just to give you more recent examples, let's talk like when Obama was first a candidate, then the president, there was a huge support from a number of musicians. We have Beyoncé, which was very supportive. We have Katy Perry, which was very active on the Clinton's campaign. So I wouldn't say that the activity kind of got bigger or more visible, because also the negative examples are there. We have Dixie Chicks, which were banned for talking against, speaking against Bush and other types of actors. So Trump coming in is neither the kind of new exciting example or neither a very negative or positive example. So it was all there before, and it just kind of gets highlighted because Trump uses Twitter. He has like millions, I think 52 millions of followers. And then he starts tweeting about it and it just kind of spreads a bit more. So it's not necessarily a new phenomenon. Sure. It just gets highlighted.
Right. So you mentioned musicians and how they've supported politicians in the past, etc. What about politicians trying to get musicians to support them or endorse them? Does this have meaning to it, or is it just kind of more the celebritization of politics?
I would say it is a bit about celebrity endorsement kind of getting more popular and so on. And when I was just like thinking about it in advance, I was like, okay, so Trump has 52 million followers on Twitter. Kanye West has like over 28 million. Other examples like Beyoncé has 15 million or even more at this moment. So basically a message transferred through their Twitter account reaches so much more people, so many more people. It's not necessary even about the message itself. It's just about the fact that it gets to more people. There are some different examples across the world. I work mostly on US and in UK, so that's the easiest one. But it kind of links to your earlier questions with use of technology. So this combination at the moment, last 20 years, allows for this kind of particular celebrity endorsement fact. But again, it's not a very new phenomenon. If we compare it to, for example, movie industry, actors endorsing politicians, again, nothing new. It's something which started up very early with the Hollywood golden times.
Now, there was an example in the UK last year with Jeremy Corbyn, and he became heavily endorsed by the Grime movement, which in fact led to a voter registration drive called Grime for Corbyn. It also became quite a meme as well. It was quite funny. What happened here? Can you explain that a bit more? And was it successful?
It was extremely interesting social experiment, I would say. In the sense that a lot of Grime stars endorsed Jeremy Corbyn. And we have Stormzy, GME, novelists, a lot of them who simply made a statement. They haven't voted before, but now they're getting more interested in the politics. Did it have effect? Well, the whole campaign of Labour leading to 2017 elections, next to the typical political rallies, included a lot of gigs and smaller scale festivals, but mostly appearances of Jeremy Corbyn at different events, including the famous speech during the Glastonbury in 2017, which, interestingly enough, it's not only the participants of Glastonbury, but also because it was televised, it reached almost 18 million people. So the idea is that the goal was to get not necessarily, again, not to change political views. It's rather to get those festival goers and so on, which on average are actually Labour supporters anyway, to actually get them mobilised to go voting. The rise in numbers of like first-time voters wasn't gigantic, but taking a really low numbers for the last 20 years, starting from like 1992, of really low turnout of young people, this was actually a big success. However, we can't really strictly link it just to those activities. Definitely, they got like a bit more interested. There were options of like registering for the vote system. There was a lot of information available during those kind of events. But again, there's no strict link that we can say 100% that that was the effect of it. But then, you know, there are some amazing things which like haven't been seen since like labor, like new labor affair with Britpop from like beginning of 1990s, when people are chanting, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn" to like the White Stripes songs from like 2003, which is a phenomenal in the sense that young people get engaged, not necessarily through traditional forms, but in more like political engagement through untraditional means. So they're getting a bit more aware of the situation, and I think that's the largest success of the whole process. Because who knows, maybe they haven't voted necessarily in the 2017 elections, but they're going to grow up till the next elections. They have few years, and it's very probable that in the next election they will be more willing to actually go voting because they're going to be more aware of situation, problems, potential solutions.
That's a good time to talk about the future. Do you think music and politics is going to become more of a closer relationship, or do you think it's going to decline as such?
That's an interesting one. I think we can't really say it ever went that far away from each other.
Right.
Again, as mentioned before, it's not a new phenomenon. It's just we have a tendency to forget a lot of examples. Just to kind of bring in something which we just recently worked on with another colleague, Labour Life. So last week in events when Labour organised a big Labour festival, we have Jeremy Corbyn coming to the stage and talking about how politics and music going to be together. This is like first time when we're going to organise this big thing, and it's going to like next year it's going to be bigger and so on. And then you start thinking and you go like, hang on a minute, there are examples of similar initiatives which took part before and they were actually much more popular. So I wouldn't say there will be a trend of kind of renewing their relationship or kind of going totally apart. But there definitely will be, because of the media interest, which is growing, there will be definitely a bit more about the topic, which kind of makes my research more interesting. So I think it's not really going to change. It's still going to go next to each other. It's just going to be a bit more visible.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or that we might have missed out on?
Something very interesting which comes up in this intersection of music and politics, which like a lot of time you read in the newspapers about like big festivals, concerts and so on, and they are phenomenal, like appearances of politicians talking with people, making them aware of issues, young people getting engaged on those events. Fantastic. But what really gets me, like in the sense like, I'm like, okay, there's a chance for music and politics are actually micro events. So there when you go for like gigs of like maximum to like 400 people, it's a small communities in the cities, in the smaller places, and you go there and it's actually all very dependent on the interaction in those communities. So kind of creating a political awareness within those communities actually has more lasting effect than the bigger concert. Because on the concert, you go, it's fun, you listen, and you kind of get aware of the issue. But if you get engaged within the smaller community, you get much more engaged and you actually get to voting because your friend told you to go voting or that he or she is going to vote. So actually, the big potential of music and politics is actually not necessarily those gigantic events, which are phenomenal and they should still be on, but it's rather those small events. And if politicians can tap in into particular communities of this scale, it's going to be much more effective.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.